This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
On the line, Odyssey Sports NBA insider Danny Green, rookie when LeBron was with the Cavaliers. Insider calls brought to you by Hyundai. We put your safety first and everything else second. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. Danny, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Hey, Danny.
Thanks, man. What's up, fellas? How you guys doing?
Good. We're going to talk Cavs in a second here. You were a rookie when LeBron was on the Cavaliers. You saw it up close and personal. He's 40 years old. They get knocked out in five by Minnesota. That team's not good, but, man, they got Luka and they got LeBron. And LeBron said, can't tell you if I'm coming back or not. He's still playing great basketball. Does he have more basketball in him? Yeah, does he have more basketball in him?
He for sure has more basketball in him, and I think we all know that he's coming back. There's no way he leaves without at least getting, you know, a farewell tour, you know, and the people appreciating it. And then, you know, Bronny's getting a chance to play with him another year with Bronny. I'm sure he'd probably get Bryce there if he could. But he definitely has more basketball in him. He's playing great at high level. He just needs help, and, you know, everybody's been saying it. You know, at 40 years old, he can't be the best player in your team or the second best player in your team to win a championship. But he's playing. Said he's got enough. He said to, you know, the 5 years. I don't know about that, but he proves me wrong and everybody else wrong every year. But he's definitely got a couple more years left of good basketball in him.
All right, Danny, I'm going to ask you this question just because we're kicking it around. I know what we think. I want you to be honest now on this one because I think sometimes great players have trouble.
Danny lies. Is that what you're saying?
No, you want him to be honest now. He'll be honest on
Danny
this.
Danny never lies.
Yeah, and we all know that LeBron probably wants to own a team someday. Would LeBron be a good head coach in the NBA? When he's done doing this?
I don't know, man. I have a theory about star players trying to coach or be GMs. I don't know if they're that great, they could be good at it. I think he could. He has IQ for it. And he definitely knows personnel well. He knows how to, you know, I guess, orchestrate a locker room. So, yeah, I don't see why not. I don't know. Great head coach, though, I don't know. I don't know if they have the patience. It'll be hard for him to, because his standard for expectation for, like, what he's done for himself is hard to keep that for other normal players, you know? So I think he could be a good head coach. Great. I don't know. I mean, I think that'd be tough. I think it's very tough for a lot of the, like, superstars to be able to coach role players.
Danny, I wonder this. They have LeBron, they have Luka, and after that, what do the Lakers have that can put LeBron and Luka where they want to be next year? And I like Austin Reeves, you know, Rui Hachimura can be a good player, but do they have the players, the assets to put a championship caliber team around those guys? Because if not, man, I would think that LeBron, I don't know that he would look for a trade, ask for a trade. I mean, LA works on so many levels for him. But man, I wonder about him sitting there on a team that he thinks might not be able to compete for an NBA championship.
I mean, that's the question, right? What they have a good piece. They said Rui's great, Austin's good, they have really good pieces. They need more depth. And do they have the assets to get it? I don't know if they do. I don't know if they have enough space or cap space. LeBron could opt out and take a cut if he wanted to get more talent around him. Mm-hmm. But they do have a good foundation. They do need more depth. They do need a big. But, yeah, and that's the tricky part, right, being a front office. The good thing I'm not a GM or have Rob Pelinka's job. It's not an easy one. But, yeah, I think with the because they were a three seed in the West. The West is no, you know, slouch. It's a really tough conference. For them to get a three seed, they show that they have talent. They just need some depth. They ran out of fatigue. You know, Bron's 40, and he was one of the best players on the floor most nights.
Yeah.
So you need to find some other guys and some guys you can play. You can't have games where you play them the whole second half, you know, and Bron has to play 40-plus minutes. So, yeah, the priority for them is to get a big. I'm sure people talk about Luka getting in shape and be able to play defense a little bit better, which I don't think it changes defensive habits or his style of play. But they can surround him with better defensive pieces to make them all look better and for LeBron to get some rest. Another thing that I think will be hard for LeBron in the coaching aspect is dealing with egos. You know, that's the other part of, you know, GM, finding the right guys that fit with the system, that fit with JJ, that fit with Luka and Bron. So that's why it's hard for star players to also coach, because it's going to be hard to deal with other players. And in today's NBA, with the sensitivity and the egos, it's not an easy thing to maneuver.
Mm. Danny, how good is this Indiana-Cavs matchup going to be in the playoffs?
I think it's going to be great, man. It's going to be a lot of high power, fast pace. You know, Indiana likes to get up and down. And then both teams are getting, you know, physical, chippy. It's what type of – obviously, it's going to be a lot better. I'm going to say obviously, but I'm assuming it's going to be better than the Miami matchup. Miami played better in Cleveland than they did at home, and it got bad for them. But I'm looking forward to this matchup. I still think Cleveland is the better team. They have more depth, and they should get it done in six. But Indiana, man, they've shown some toughness and some grit, and they've been fighting. So it's going to be a hell of a matchup.
Danny Green joining us, and Insider Calls are brought to us by Hyundai. Hyundai helps protect you and your family out on the road. We put your safety first and everything else second. The thing that I love looking at in a series, Danny, who matches up with who? How does this work? Which team might have an advantage? Cavs have a terrific backcourt, though it's on the smaller side. They have a big front court, which is terrific. The wing guys, okay, whatever. You can figure that out. They do have guys. I like DeAndre Hunter. Max Strus can get hot. There are guys that can certainly do some things out there. And you have Ty Jerome in the backcourt as well. But Indiana has four guys who start who are all kind of long for wing guys and guards, 6'4 to about 6'8, and only Miles Turner inside. Which team can exploit the other team's main starting five and the main guys who are going to play more in this series? What do you think?
I mean, that's the coaching part of it, right? It's a chess game, and see what Kenny can bring to the table that JB didn't. And then on the other side, Rick Carlisle, vice versa, see what he can do. It's going to be a big series for Tyrese Haliburton, matched against Donovan Mitchell, Darius Garland, and then Ty Jerome, like all the wings that you guys have. And they throw multiple bodies at him, like DeAndre Hunter, Max Strus. There's so many guys that can guard him, even Isaac Okoro. And you got Green on the bench as well, Javante. So you guys have the advantage pretty much all right, because it's going to be a hell of a series for Pascal, too, matchup with Evan Mobley, defensive player of the year. It's going to be a huge series for Miles Turner and Tyrese Haliburton. Miles Turner has to figure out a way to give Pascal some relief and make it easier for him, and Tyrese Haliburton is going to have to try to control the tempo, because they both have an uphill battle with the depth that Cleveland has. So I think you guys have the advantage damn near all around. Mm-hmm. But I could see Rick Carlisle trying to exploit and trying to get the mismatches and get screens for Pascal and Tyrese and trying to put Darius in action, even making Donovan guard, you know, because they want to wear him down. And any smart team, one of the big star player, their main scorer, to play defense, you know. But the smaller guards, I feel like they're going to try to attack those smaller guards if they can. But ultimately, I just don't think they have enough. But it's going to take for Tyrese Haliburton and Miles Turner to really step up and play, you know, out of body. And then, of course, off the bench, TJ McConnell, Obi Toppin, those guys have to play well, Mathurin too. But like I said, those two guys are the key. They have to really step up for them to have a chance.
Danny, you mentioned a matchup that I think could be intriguing, but I'm not sure how it's going to go and how it's going to play out. And that is Pascal Siakam when Evan Mobley guards him. Is it an advantage for Indy if Pascal can drag Evan out on the floor? Or is Evan going to have a huge advantage if Pascal has to try to defend him?
I think there's advantages and disadvantages on both sides. Okay. I think Pascal has the advantage on the outside, like you just mentioned, because he can shoot a perimeter. He's a little faster. He's more of a guard-like player. And Evan's got the size advantage inside. You know, he can shoot over Pascal. He can, you know, back him down or post him up, shoot a jump hook, left hook. Pascal's not going to be able to block that. His best is try to be physical with him and push him out. But Evan's really worked on his game and his body, and he's not thin, flimsy kid anymore. So it's going to be interesting to see who imposes their will. And that's where the mental aspect of the game comes in. You know, I've seen some of the greats play great. I've seen some of the average guys play really well. And I've seen some of those great guys not play so well because of the mental part side of it. And when I say these things, you know, certain people come to mind. Like, oh, this guy was a great player, but in the playoffs didn't play so well. This guy was not so good in the regular season, but in the playoffs he became unbelievable. You know, some guys just arise to the occasion, and it's more of a mental aspect type of deal. So that's pretty much what, you know, the playoffs is, and that's what makes it interesting and fun to watch and see, you know, who has the mental fortitude, who's going to step up, who has the mental toughness, you know, to be one of those guys.
Yeah, Danny, you know, you talk about the mental part of this, and I keep thinking about if you're a young player in the playoffs, and I mean, the Miami series is what the Miami series was, as you try to advance, obviously everything gets turned up, everything gets tighter. What's the most important thing a young player to the playoffs at this point in their career needs to know? You put your toe in the water against Miami, or maybe you've had a couple games through there, but I mean, now you're in the pool, right? And
yeah.
And so what's the most important thing for a younger player to know that an older player can make sure they accomplish while they're doing this?
I mean, it's so many things, but I think it's the most important thing is like possession by possession. I mean, every possession is important, and you have to be locked in for 48 minutes every game. You can't, you know, take any lapses or take any, you know, plays off, because every basket matters, every loose ball, all those things matter. So, you know, stay even keel, embrace it, and live in the moment. You know, have fun with it, and don't let the, you know, don't let the lights and anything get to you. If you just focus on playing and having fun, the lights won't get too bright. You won't worry too much, and the pressure won't, it won't be any pressure. Just have, these are things that you dreamed of as a kid, you know, of being in this moment. So embrace the moment and have fun with it.
And I just, I want your take on this too, because I thought it was interesting, because I normally am like, man, when you're stepping on the gas in a game and you're really crushing a team, is there a point where you should back off? And I just remember Kenny Atkinson late in the third in that game four against Miami wanted to review a play. And I was like, and during the regular season, I'd be like, really? You're up like 60 and you're reviewing a play? And then
not
somewhere,
in the playoffs.
Yeah,
not,
in the back
absolutely
of my mind.
Not.
Yeah, it's a weird conundrum, though, sometimes. But
I mean, you've seen what happened with the game last night in Houston, yeah, and Golden State. At any moment, a team, you don't give them no life, no type of like encouragement. They don't need any positives coming from a game. All it takes is one shot for a shooter to strike iron, one possession for a team to gain confidence, and that could change the whole series around. It may not be for that game. It could be for the next game. But you want to make sure when you have a team down, you keep them down and let them know that, you know, they can't get nothing. They're nothing easy.
I did think it was interesting at the end of the game they did do the gentleman's rule, though, where they didn't shoot and then they didn't shoot. But, I mean, they were up,
yeah,
you know, 50.
Yeah, sportsmanlike.
Yeah.
Knicks-Celtics, if it ends up being Knicks-Celtics, what do you think? Does New York have a shot at knocking off the defending champs?
No. No, I don't think so. Celtics are just such a juggernaut in the East. So is Cleveland. The only thing that so they have a chance with is they don't, if they're not healthy. But I mean, Orlando gave him some troubles a little bit here and there, but so that's the thing. Celtics are too talented. They're the best team in basketball when healthy. So yeah. And the Knicks, they just haven't shown enough to me that impressed me to be like, they're struggling with Detroit right now. And it honestly could be 3-2 Detroit if the referees called the right call. So they would be in trouble, but I just don't see them getting the Celtics.
Danny, last thought. You're the Cavs. How do you try to attack Indy? How do you think you win this series? If you're Indy, how do you attack the Cavs?
I mean, so that I told you, best bet for any team is to try to, you know, take away three, the perimeter for them, and try to get the mismatches you can. Try to get those guys in foul trouble. Try to attack the smalls, and that's, you know, Donovan and Darius. And also the bench. I mean, the bench is deep. The bench has a lot of depth offensively, but defensively. So your best bet is to try to get mismatches and get them in foul trouble.
Always a pleasure. Thanks, buddy.
Pleasure's all mine, man. See you guys next week.
Danny Green going to talk to us all throughout the playoffs, and we can't wait for that. Danny, Insider Calls brought to us by Hyundai. We put your safety first and everything else second, and you can learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. Danny, we'll talk to you soon. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you, guys.
Danny
Thanks.
Green,
you know,
former
Danny.
Cavalier NBA champion. Danny Baskin, I'm Jeff Phelps. Danny Green was just with us. He's our Odyssey NBA insider. Love chatting with Danny. And the fact that Danny was here and knows a lot about the Cavs and certainly NBA champion, played with LeBron, just great insight into things. He said if you're the Indiana Pacers, you attack the smalls. That means Darius Garland. That means Donovan Mitchell. The two guys who can turn around and light you up for about 60. So, Andy, that'll be something to watch, and that's something to watch in any playoff series the Cavs play. You know, that's where a coach is immediately going to think, well, we got Halliburton. Can Darius keep up with Halliburton? Can, you know, how do you match that up? How do you scheme it? It'll be interesting to see how Rick Carlisle plays that. It'll be interesting to see how Kenny Atkinson plays it defensively. And then flip it, and you'll have the same type of thing. You know, who can keep up with who can keep up with Darius and Donovan when they have the basketball. But I still think Evan Mobley has to be a major contributor on offense in this series, because I think he could have an advantage, especially with no starter for Indy other than Miles Turner being over 6 foot eight. Pascal Siakam is 6'8". I wonder if they put Siakam at times on Jared Allen, and if that's a mismatch that the Cavs can exploit.
Which team should be more confident going into this?
Cavs.
I don't know. Indiana came out of that last series extremely confident.
Well, yes, for good reason.
Yeah.
But the Cavaliers, you know, the thing about it was Milwaukee was really trying to play and win. Man, for whatever reason, I've never seen a Miami team phone it in like this Heat team did in those last two games. I'm stunned. You know, I've sung the praises of the Miami Heat for a long time. I love their organization. Well, let me take that back. I've never cared for their organization. I have a ton of respect for their organization. Pat Riley knows what he's doing. Eric Spoelstra is a terrific coach. And I'm stunned at the way they played in games 3 and 4. There will be major changes on that team next year.
Yeah, especially after games 1. The Cavs just ripped out their soul in that series. Absolutely just ripped out their soul.
Oh, yeah. After the Heat didn't win one of the games in Cleveland when they had a chance in both games, and then they went down and fell behind in game 3, that was done. They were absolutely done.
That's the thing I love and hate about the playoffs, that you look and you see these series that sometimes go 4-2, but then you realize, like, there's always a pivotal point in a third quarter somewhere, and you're like, oh, that's where the series got away from them, right? And the Pacers experience, I just don't know. You know, they got whacked by the Celtics last year. I mean, they got swept.
Yeah, but they beat Milwaukee and they beat New York.
Yeah.
Those are two good teams that they took care of.
Yeah, I know.
They made it to the Eastern Conference Finals.
So I wonder how much that drives them this year, though, knowing that they walked away from the Eastern Conference Finals without a win last year. Like, how much is that driving them? How much is that inspiring them? How much? And then, you know, as we talked earlier, Mark Boyle talked about the psychological change and the philosophical change of the Pacers from the beginning of the season, realizing that they had to buy in to get to that next level, that it can't all be offense and they got to figure out their defense to get them to the next point. I the closer we get to the games, the more I'm like, wow, this could be really, really good. But by the same token, I'm not going to back off on what the Cavs are and the way the Cavs have played. And I'm not going to belittle what they've done to get to this point. It's not their fault that Miami just fell apart. They're the reason they fell apart, right? They kicked them where it hurt. And so it's where you are now.
Mark Boyle's the Pacers play-by-play guy. He joined us at 11:20. If you missed that interview, go back, listen to it. He was really good. You can do that on the Odyssey app or at 92.3thefan.com. Kevin's in Cuyahoga Falls. Hey, Kev.
Hey, Kev.
Gentlemen, how are we doing today?
Good, good.
Yeah, Cavs are awesome. I mean, that Miami series was really fantastic. And, I mean, really, I think if the Cavs play the style of basketball they play, I totally expect them to for us to match up against Boston in the Eastern Conference Finals. So, but really, when it comes to Indiana, the one guy that scares me is old Mr. Pascal there. I don't know what it is about that guy, but every time we've played them this year, the guy just goes crazy on us. And I guess I'm hoping Hunter's the answer to maybe defend him, you know, because, you know, Jeff, he's that dreaded 6'8", you know, 230-pound guy that you are always worried about. And, man, if any team gives me a scare in the playoffs, it's them, because Indiana's they're kind of a longer team. They're kind of a bigger team. And again, I don't know what it is about Mr. Pascal, but, man, that guy just lights it up when we play him. And so far we haven't had an answer to slow him down too much. So I'm really hoping this playoffs, they find defensively a way to slow him down and not let him tear us apart like he has in the regular season.
Kevin, it's going to be one of the fun things to watch in this series is that, you know, just that length that Indy has out at the guard spots and the two forward spots, but then they don't have somebody who you think can easily match up with Evan Mobley. You know, so it's like, okay, what does Kenny Atkinson decide to do there? Are you going to feed Evan like absolute crazy and have him try to take advantage of Siakam? Or if they move Miles Turner on him, then are you going to go to Jared Allen and alley-oop Siakam like crazy? I mean, there's some real coaching strategy that we're going to see on display in this series. And not just in game one, look for the adjustments for game two, game three, and beyond. It's going to be, if you're a basketball purist, you're going to love that.
Yeah, and let me ask you, Jeff, do you think there's a chance we could see Hunter and Wade out at the same time just to kind of match up that length against them?
That's an interesting thought. Why not, right?
I think we've got to do something. Yeah. I think Atkins is going to have to make some kind of an adjustment. I'm not sure we can leave Struss and Merrill out at the same time with only either Mobley or Allen out there. I'm not sure that jigs puzzle is going to work against Indiana because of their size and their length.
Yeah.
So I'm anticipating Hunter and Wade maybe being out there at the same time and maybe Struss and Merrill having to sacrifice a few minutes to facilitate that lineup for us.
And I wonder, how much does he play Evan Mobley and Jared Allen together? You know, it worked beautifully in the regular season. Is this a matchup where maybe that's not what you should do? I don't know, but we're going to find out on Sunday, Kevin.
It's going to be exciting. Go Cavs.
All right, buddy. Kevin and Cuyahoga Falls. You know, watch these two coaches, and they are two very good coaches. And Kenny Atkinson is terrific. Rick Carlisle, terrific. And they each have some weapons to deal with.
I do want to go back to one other thing that Danny had talked about, and we were talking about LeBron with him.
Yeah.
And he said
LeBron can still play.
Yeah.
But he said you also probably don't want a 40-year-old as your first or second option on a team. Right now, LeBron's clearly the 1 or 1A. You know, with Luka being new, I would say it was still LeBron's team this year. I don't think it's LeBron's team next year, do you?
Not if they want to win.
I would think you're right.
I mean, he's got to decide what he wants to do there. I do think you were right, though, just about him being able to stretch out the Q score, I guess, on it. Just the ability to be able to stretch out an entire summer of having people wonder what he's going to do next. And I got to sit back and figure out what I want to do. And all that does is drive storylines, clicks, and more stories about LeBron. So
can I throw this one thought at you?
Hmm?
You surprised at this? If LeBron plays next year for the Lakers, it'll be his longest continuous stretch with one team. He played 7 years, the first 7 years of his career with the Cavs.
Right.
He has now played 7 years with the Los Angeles Lakers. No, isn't that hard to believe? That feels funny.
He goes there. It's pandemic. You know, they do their thing in the bubble. I don't know.
Next year will be his eighth as a Los Angeles Laker.
I mean,
if he's there,
I don't know. Maybe because he left here after winning a championship, but I just think Laker LeBron just will never ever match up to Cav LeBron.
I would agree. He did spend 11 seasons here total.
Yeah.
So. I don't imagine he would play.
Does he have to wear a jersey to get in the Hall of Fame?
I don't imagine that he'll play 8, 9, 10, 11, 4 more years to play 11 seasons with the Lakers. Then again,
you never know.
It's LeBron. Yeah. It's Baskin and Phelps here on The Fan.